Hi, this is David Howard Thornton, but you might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Kill you later.
Nothing says your Christmas is complete until you can say, I got a jackal monkey for Christmas.
My very own jackal monkey.
I got my very own jackal monkey right here. That's right. That's jackal monkey. I am Otis B. Yeah. Dredge. This is Night of Living Dredge podcast. And it is actually at the time of recording this, because it's going to come out later on this evening. So if you listen to it this evening, you'll be listening to it on the day after Christmas. That's right. The Christmas hangovers, I'm sure, are in full effect. Although it kind of makes for a long weekend. So, I guess it's just, an endless ride to, Sunday night.
Give them something to do over the weekend.
There you go. Nurse a hangover. Oh, good night. See, I hit one of my Christmas presents already. I'm not used to it. I have a vintage mic that actually the same daughter that got me this new scissor, spring action arm, boom stand kind of thing. I've been saying I wanted another one because I have three mics and two boom stands. And I've been wanting to use this vintage mic that she got me last year, actually. And, I haven't been able to, use it a whole lot. I think because my other boom stands, they've been used so much. I think the springs have worn out. They've lost their tightness. This is a heavy mic. This is one of those, vintage Elvis Presley. It's made by Pyle. And it's a really good mic. I like it. I'm using it right now. But what I needed was a pop filter. So she got me the whole set, man. It's got the little pop filter on it. It even has a shock mount in it. But I can't figure out how to get the damn thing on there. I'll just try not to hit it like I just did. Anyway, enough of my damn rambling. I also got medicine for Christmas. Well, no, I didn't. I actually got it that the night before.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! Love medicine. Jackal Monkey, how are you, sir? It's been a while since
we've actually
fucking talked, man. I mean, here we are.
Man.
Episode 87, episode 86 was the last time I think we talked, man. It's just been busy the last couple weeks, man. How was your Christmas? I did see that your daughter got her little stuffed rat, man. The little ninja rat, man. She looked very happy. How was that?
Yeah, oh man, it was fucking awesome. She loved it. She calls it her hero rat.
The hero rat. That is so cute.
And he fights evil cats.
Oh my god, man! It's like a vigilante rat, man. Because cats always have said to have the upper hand. When it comes to like rats or mice. Don't fuck with this rat.
Right, yeah, she was super stoked, man.
That is awesome.
She was super stoked.
That was a Christmas Eve gift, right?
Is that something
you guys have always done? That's something that my mom always did with me, allow me to open one present on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that's something that my family's always done. We actually, back in the day, my mom opened a few different presents, but I mean, she's saved the good shit, like super good, like a game system or whatever that something bad, a new skateboard or something. She saved that for Christmas Day.
Sure.
As I got older, it ended up being a skateboard, for Christmas. Cause those damn things ain't cheap, man.
No, they're not. They're not.
But yeah,
I know my Christmas gifts. Yeah, I always got one. I did. Funny quick story, man. But I mean, to start off, most of the time, my Christmas Eve gifts were always like a step above a stocking stuffer.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not quite, you know, they were a little bit better than a stocking stuffer, but barely. They barely made it out of the fucking stocking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I 1 year, I got curious. And my mom, she, you know, had a little trust in, she had a little trust in
uh-oh.
Me. Uh-oh. Yeah, uh-oh. Uh-oh's right. Yeah. I fucked that up real quick. Let me just say I fucked that up with a quickness. Yeah, she had my stepbrother had moved out, and she had stuck. Oh, you know, that's where she would stockpile in his old bedroom. Stockpile all the gifts, you know, that she was
trying to hide them in there.
Well,
she'll never think of looking in the mirror.
Right. Well, here's the thing. My mom was like cruel to a point because she wouldn't even fucking hide them, man. She'd stack them all up on the fucking bed and put my name on them. You might as well had a neon fucking sign saying, Kurt, right here.
Oh, God.
Don't
damn.
Open this one, especially not this one. No. Any others, those are bad, but especially not this one. You know, it was so cruel, you know. So, of course, you know, my mom's gone.
Oh shit!
I sneak the fuck in there, right? And I'm picking a gift. I'm like, all right, if I'm gonna open one, man, I really want to be fucking surprised. Okay. I open up. I mean, it was kind of cool, I guess, at that time. But I opened up a fucking Dukes of Hazzard remote control, General Lee.
Oh hell yeah!
Right. I mean, that was cool, right? But I'm like, man, that's not what I was really hoping for when I'm committing the ultimate crime in my household. Right.
I wanted the fall guy, damn it.
Right? It's like you don't commit a bank robbery, you know, when the bank only has $10. you don't put yourself in that situation. You want to hit the big score when you're sneaking a peek, right? That didn't fucking happen.
It's like, oh, shit.
So I tried to fucking hide it, right? My mom goes in and, yeah, like an inspector goes in and starts looking at all the fucking gifts. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got it made. Came out, right? She didn't say anything. Christmas Eve comes around. And this was only like a couple of days that I did the whole espionage thing, the whole spy thing, right? You know, it was maybe, I don't know, like maybe the day before Christmas Eve, like the 23rd or something.
Oh, God.
I know, right? So Christmas Eve.
That's even worse.
Christmas Eve, guess what present I get? That she what gives me. Get? She goes up and picks out one for me. It's the fucking Dukes of Hazzard car. and you know what? She gives it to me. She's like, here, I figured you wanted to play with this, being you already looked. I was like, how the fuck did you know? She was like, see, you know, I wasn't gonna give you something that you didn't know, you know, and give you a surprise. Mm-mm, you already knew about this one. You might as well play with it, motherfucker. Pretty much.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
I get the logic.
That's awesome, though.
Did you ever do that?
That's awesome. Do what?
Did you ever like try to sneak a peek at gifts, man?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Did you get caught?
Yeah, I ended up every time, damn near, and until I developed a technique.
Oh, okay.
Every time.
Clue us in. Jackal Monkey's going to give us a lesson for next year, kiddos, on how to sneak a peek.
And it depends on what it is too, like. My thing, of course, you know, when I was growing up, you know, it was, the big thing was, you know, Genesis games.
Yeah.
Like, Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could tell by the shape, you know what I mean, of the present. I'm like, all right, I know this is a fucking Sega Genesis game. I know it's a Genesis game. I just don't know which fucking one it is. So, I would start pressing down really hard on the wrapping paper, like, and just...
Oh,
like kind of pulling it and pushing it, pushing it to the cartridge or to
you're
the
giving it the Charmin test, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, fucking just pushing really hard until I could almost sort of see through.
Don't squeeze the Charmin.
That's how I discovered 1 year that I was getting Beavis and Butthead for Genesis, though. and required. No unwrapping, nothing. I can see through the damn wrapping paper. Oh yeah, because every time if we cut where she had tape, and we even do that, like we'd get a razor blade and cut where mom had scotch taped it together and slowly unfold it. You know, I mean, we thought we were slick as shit. Oh no.
Good Lord.
No. She'd still come back. She'd be like, it wasn't folded that way. She knew. She knew we were.
Your operation was much larger and complex than mine.
Oh, mom could tell. She straight knew. She's like, you fucking opened this, didn't you?
That's like, hilarious.
Damn it. How the fuck did you know?
Right, man. How does this happen?
It's a mom thing,
it
man.
Has
they
be.
Fucking. They fucking know that shit. They just fucking sense it.
It's got to be. Did you get any horror shit this year? Let's talk some horror shit. Did you get any?
Not really, man.
Well, I mean, you make masks on the side. I mean,
yeah.
And let's
yeah.
talk. Let's talk about that for a fucking second. You make masks, custom masks and shit. Nightmare Ninja Studios. Tell us a little bit about that because it's a pretty badass mask.
Yeah, fucking custom latex masks, anything you want, pretty much I could do. Just takes a little bit of time, a little bit of blood, sweat, and tears, but nothing I can't do, pretty much. I'm really into doing a lot of Friday the 13th stuff, doing hockey
you're,
masks.
You're a big fan
and,
of Friday the 13th, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. That's your favorite,
Jason. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And coming my way, I've got some more hockey masks about to come out, and some Hannibal Lecter masks as well.
Awesome!
So those would be pretty badass. So to wear with the COVID season going. So
everybody needs a mask.
Yeah, wear that. You know, you could wear that over your mask. You know, and. Look stylish like you're a cannibal.
Stylish and creepy. Like you belong in an asylum.
And it would settle two things. I mean, it would, you're still wearing your masks, and I'm pretty sure that nobody would get within 6 feet of you wearing that motherfucker.
right. except the local authorities.
Yeah. Could have tried to carry you off in the white coats. No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and then they may make you sit down and listen to this podcast.
Fuck that.
And we all know you don't want that.
No.
Not that again, please, sir, not another.
Oh, man. So, yeah. Speaking of family Christmas time, shit, what else, I hung out with, what'd you get? Did you get some horror-related stuff?
I did get a little bit, man. That's, you know, my Mrs. Dredd, she knows already, right? That's just, you know, you can just go straight horror. I'm a very simple man. You know, like band t-shirts, I like old retro-looking band t-shirts and shit. I'm that guy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm that fucking guy. And,
hell yeah.
You know, so I always usually get, if not band t-shirts, I usually get some new horror shirts. And I did. I got a few new horror shirts, maybe about five of them, five new ones or something. And so that was pretty cool. I got a talking Chucky.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it's fucking rad.
That's pretty cool.
What was that Krampus thing that you got?
Oh my God! Yeah, hold on. You know what? I wish we were on fucking video right now. No, that was actually given to that was a present to Jody from a friend of my daughter's, and actually her husband's, my son-in-law's best friend, Brandon, and we've known him for years, and he gets us a little something every year, and I guess they're little, almost like Elf on the Shelf, but it's Krampus on a mantle.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, that was badass. I really dug that.
The little gingerbread man. They're little stuffed animals.
Hell yeah.
And so that was pretty cool. And then he got Jody a a tiki style exorcist fucking cup, ceramic cup, which is really fucking cool. Got me a Chucky shirt and what the fuck else? I don't fucking know. So many things over there, but I got a little exorcist doll. You know, the little collectible things. That you got called him a doll. Yeah, go ahead, fight me. It's Linda Blair, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I got the Jeepers Creeper. The Creeper, little Funko Pop thing. I got tons of those. The last one I got, I think, was Rob Zombie. He was the last one I got.
Oh, hell yeah.
And let's see, I got Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, yeah.
That was one game that, you know, card game that we've been, you know, talking about fucking getting. And
it's funny because we got that too.
Really? And we had played it. We had played it once or twice before, but it was my daughter's, you know, Zane's mom. It was her set. So, you know, it's like, okay, man, that would be really cool to have. So we're going to take it to my very witty, bad joke telling boss, because I know he hates to hear that shit, but he doesn't listen to the fucking podcast anyway. So we're going to his house, I think, to hang out and do, you know, celebrate New Year's. And we're going to take this fucking game over and see how many moral laws we can break.
Fuck yeah!
I don't know, but you know, all in all, brother, it was really cool. And then, of course, as I mentioned already, you know, I think I mentioned the arm and the you know, little boom stand and everything. But
yeah, that's fucking rad.
Oh, and then I did get my my Jason coffee mug.
Yeah, that's badass.
That coffee, Jason coffee mug. Yeah, that was pretty cool. So anyway, you know what isn't very cool? Murdering your whole fucking family like two, three days before fucking Christmas. That's just not really a cool fucking thing to do, man. That doesn't spell dad of the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And then, and so was the story for Ronald Gene Simmons. No, I didn't say Gene Simmons, not like kids. Hey, I want to rock and roll on that. No, not that Gene Simmons. Like,
not that Gene Simmons.
Right, not that.
This Gene Simmons was a fucking psychopath weirdo. Good God.
I mean, which isn't a far stretch from the Gene Simmons you may have thought we were talking about. I'm not a Kiss fan, but all right. All right, he don't listen either, so fuck him. Ronald Gene Simmons, he was born 1940, so we're going back a little bit. Okay, he Chicago native. His mom Loretta and his dad Billy. Oh, Billy Simpson Simmons.
Billy,
I'm gonna say
Billy
Simpsons
boy.
The whole time. Oh, Billy boy.
Billy Boy
Simmons. although he, you know, a little Ronnie didn't get a whole lot of time with old Papa Billy, because at 3 years old, his dad dies of a fucking stroke.
And then
within a year, his mom, being the whore she is, remarries. To a fucking guy who's a civil engineer for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. She wasn't, like, taking, like, just anybody, apparently.
No. had to be that guy.
Right. You know, they eventually moved around, you know, being in a military family. And honestly, dude, this is, have you found a lot out about his childhood? Because there's not a lot.
No.
There really isn't. I have looked.
Yeah, there's not a lot that I can find. Yeah.
I've looked at, you know, I have listened to other podcasts because, you know, I'm probably the one host out of all the fucking true crime horror podcasts that does the least amount of fucking research. So I look at other podcasts, like, I know goddamn well that person did a hell of a lot more fucking research than I did.
Yeah, and no.
And nobody's finding anything about his childhood. I mean, he drops out, you know, he joins the Navy in 57. Ends up, you know, he had actually what seemed to be a pretty successful military career.
Oh, yeah. Successful in the, whenever he was in the Navy, and then whenever he was in the Air Force, yeah, he had medals and honors and both.
Absolutely.
And that's what's crazy as hell, like, is that this guy's a fucking complete psychopath.
I know, right?
Yet he didn't get dishy. He had an exemplary military career. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, what the idea.
What the hell would make him do that?
Exactly. Because there isn't anything that stands out, you know, with his early childhood. Like, you know, there were certain things that stood out, you know, with Jeffrey Dahmer, his dad, and, you know, the dead carcass and shit. You know, I mean, there's just little things that you could say, yeah, that could have sent my kid into a tailspin, you know. But there's nothing that we know of. That's all we can say. It's not that it didn't happen.
Exactly. But I think I may have figured it out.
Breaking ground here in the insane asylum.
Here we go. But yeah, because, I mean, normally, I mean, it's usually for serial killers and stuff like that, people that commit mass murders, it's either A or B, usually. It's either A, you know, they had a terrible, terrible fucking upbringing, you know, like their mom was a prostitute that made them watch them sleep with Johns, and their dad was an alcoholic that beat the shit out of them, you know, like stuff like that, you know, or they have like a shitload of stressors like all at once. Like they lose their job, their wife divorces them, their parents die, like they lose their house. You know what I mean?
The avalanche kind of stressor, if you will. It all comes at once. It's not, you know, just repetitive over life and then you snap. It's boom, 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 snap.
Right. But this sick son of a bitch, apparently, you know, he has been broken for years. He was just sort of, you know, like any good serial killer, he was hiding his darkness, you know, so to speak.
Yeah. You mentioned the, you know, awards and, you know, I mean, for one, like you said, the Navy, he was in the Navy from 57 to 63. So he had a good 6-year stint in the Navy. In 65, he didn't take long of a break, you know, two years out, and, he does a 14-year stint with, the Air Force and ends up, retiring and leaving the Air Force as a master sergeant. And these are the credentials that he left with: Bronze Star Medal, the Republic of Vietnam Gallantry Cross, Air Force Ribbon for Excellence in Marksmanship.
Which, I mean, yeah, it's like, see, like, dude, it's no bullshit. I mean, like, the dude, I mean, he had damn good service record. I mean,
now it was crazy. Right. I mean, he was about, I think, like 3 years old or so when his dad passed from the, you know, the stroke or whatever the fuck it was. And his mom remarried. He was very young and probably took in a lot of what his stepdad, being the, you know, engineer in the Army Corps of Engineers, and seeing a lot of military things going on, and maybe that kind of persuaded him to go that way. Do you think that?
Exactly.
I mean, that's the only persuasion that I can see.
Oh, yeah,
and I guess
for sure.
It wasn't even really a bad one.
By no means. You know what I mean? That's what made him want to pursue that military career and that lifestyle for sure was his stepfather. But in my opinion, what made him break was that after his military career, after he retired, over 20 years or something, you know, of service, you know what I mean, and being with his stepfather, and being with that military for so long,
right.
you know, it was just constant structure. You know what I mean? And then
you may once, be on the sun there because out, yeah, that really showed itself later on.
Once, well, yeah, exactly. Once he got out and got on his own, and then his wife wanted to leave him. His daughter, yeah, come to find out that yeah, he had been molesting his 17-year-old daughter and had impregnated her.
Shitbag.
Yeah, no shit, right? And like, she had a letter written in a safety deposit box, and she was goddamn right down the shitter. She was gonna expose him, you know. Goddamn. No, it's supposed to drive too much Taco Bell. No,
I don't think this podcast was actually going down the shitter. We will find a way to use those buttons. I'm looking
one way or another.
Say something about being a shitty person. How dare you? I fucking dare you.
Yeah. She was ready to expose him for, you know, molesting her and all that shit. And
did you say explode?
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
And then his wife wanting to leave him, you know what I mean?
And that was like, kind of a secret thing, wasn't it? Wasn't that kind of like more of a secret thing? She was saving money for a divorce because, you know, I mean.
Yeah, and she had written a letter to her son.
Yes.
Talking about how she felt like... he kept them like in prison. Yeah, in prison, basically. Which, I mean, he had them secluded, living way off in the middle of fucking nowhere with no telephone.
Completely off the grid. Completely. I mean, no running water. They had toilets that were functional. They had toilets that worked if there was water. They had, electrical outlets that would have been just fine if they would have had, you know, electric run there.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, they had all of the means, but I don't know. I mean, do you think that was something from his military background? Because some little speaking pieces that you listen to, some maybe seven to 10 minutes, you know, long, it almost seems like, well, and he was living off the grid, you know, kind of trying to create that image for him. And I'm not trying to get political here, but I think this story kind of, it took me to that question. What is your thoughts on that?
Right. That's what I was going to say, too. I don't think that necessarily that was a thing. Like, again, I think that was part of something in him that control, and that's where I was getting at. That's what finally ended up making him break, is because, you know, so used to all that structure, and, you know what I mean, once his daughter was going to expose him and his wife was going to leave him, like, he no longer had that power. Like, he couldn't control anything anymore.
The and one thing he could control, though, was, you know, taking him out.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. So, can we conclude then? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's my opinion. That's my opinion. You know what I mean? That's what I think.
So up to the murder. You know, I mean, when this all took place, and that would have been in 87, okay, December 22nd, to be exact, he decides that, you know, this is the time to enact a plan that involves pretty much wiping out his entire fucking family. Can you say, I don't care. I want to hear fucking shit. I like talking. can we say that, you know, I mean, are you saying that maybe the fucking, I wish somebody would say something because I've said that way too many times. You hear what I said?
Do what?
No, see, I'm rambling.
Sorry. No, shit. Yeah, see, what I think is that, yeah, what ended up making him finally fucking break was him losing that control. Like, he found out that his wife was about to leave him. So that's whenever he is like, well, okay, I no longer have this control anymore. So,
right.
Bam, bam. He knew everyone was coming. And so what better way to do it than to just take them all out? So he killed his wife and his son first.
Well, and not only that, going into, your theory is what made him snap. But, he already had that, kind of shit playing on him for a while. That's why they moved to Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can't.
That's why he had his kids dig the cesspool. He had his kids dig
gotta
that
move
four
the shitter.
Foot by 4 foot. Yeah, yeah. We gotta dig a shitter. Go outside and dig me a shitter.
Start digging. Shitter's full. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ. He had been big that like a week before or some shit like that, like before he killed him.
And wherever they lived before Arkansas, they moved there on a fucking whim in the middle of the night. You know why? Because Children's Services was getting, calls from people saying, man, I think this motherfucker kissing his daughter way kind of fucking weird.
Yep.
I mean, you don't normally give your daughter fucking tongue when you're sending her off to fucking school. What's going on here?
They don't usually,
pick them up like a six pack, one to paint tone snake. You know what I'm saying? They don't do that.
God, that's,
I know, right?
It's not how we do things.
It's not how we do things. It's not how, I don't want to see that motherfucker at the father-daughter dance. Fucking saying. So, yeah, and then he ran. Once they got word on it, man, they ran a fucking, a raid, or not really a raid, but they were a warrant, I guess you could say, to his fucking house. He bolted that night, man, in the middle of the fucking night. Gone. Yep. And that's how he ended up in fucking Arkansas, in the middle of nowhere, off the fucking grid, so nobody could fucking find him.
Yep.
And then he just snapped. Everything just snapped from them, yeah.
All of his other kids, a lot of his kids, the ones that were old enough pretty much that could leave had left.
Right.
So, he was there with his four or five kids, his son had came to visit, and like I was saying, he those were the first two he killed was his wife and his son.
But he had good. He had the right accommodations to have visitors. I mean, he had run down abandoned mobile homes that were pushed together to make one big one.
One giant fucking coffin.
Mansion.
One giant fucking coffin is what it turned into.
That's what it fucking turned into. Tell us about that, man. That one day, man. One of the podcast hosts I listened to about this case, he said that they would take and one of Becca's or Rebecca, his wife, or Becky as she was known, would take and go down to the creek in the morning and, start bathing up, getting ready for the day, washing up, because they didn't have fucking running water. They had to go wash their ass in a fucking creek.
Because
that's sanitary, they ain't going to get no fungi up into poopy.
Nope. No,
fungi.
Go wash it, fungi, at your poopy.
Get the fungi at your poopy.
With the creek water.
With the creek water.
With the creek water.
Don't drink it. Don't drink it.
No, don't drink the poo water.
Don't drink the creek water.
No, don't drink the poo water.
don't lick the fuzzy green rocks either.
No.
I know it feels good on your tongue.
If you start to see things, let me know, then you pass that rock to me.
And start collecting all the fuzzy green rocks. I think we can scrape that down, roll it up, and smoke it. Like the tongue.
Yeah, no.
Right. So, where the fuck was I at? What were you talking about? Who?
Yeah, him going around and waiting for the other
He goes down, apparently shoots Becky as she's down there washing her butthole in the creek. Bam! Fires two, one in the temple, takes her out. And then he goes up, and apparently his second one was, as you mentioned, his 29-year-old son. That was his eldest son. Actually, hold on here. I got a little timeline. Not really a timeline, but got some names. Yes, Ronald Gene Simmons Jr. Got us a junior. 29 years old. Gunshot. Bam. Now, he killed his wife first. She was 46. And then went to his granddaughter. Now, these were the only three in the house at the time. Okay.
Right. Nobody else was. Nobody else had arrived yet.
Right.
But like I said, that's why. That's another reason why he waited. You know, waited for a while, because, like I said, he obviously had this plan, because he had them dig their own grave in the backyard like a week before.
Yeah.
But he was waiting just for the right time to where he could get everybody all at the same place.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of, you know, I mean, just getting them in, kind of cornering them, you know, you can't go anywhere now, you know.
Right.
And that was his mentality, I guess, you know. A lot of podcast hosts, a lot of, you know, people, you know, you claim that, yeah, because of his military, you know, fucking, you know, duties and whatnot, that mindset is what got him to where he could, you know, really plan this out, and it worked to a T.
Right.
And it really fucking did. So we have Barbara Simmons. That was the 3-year-old granddaughter. He didn't want to shoot her, they say. Don't he didn't want to shoot her. That was too much. She was too young. I'll take my belt off and strangle her, because that's how you show kids love. Strangle.
Yeah. Yeah, strangulation.
It was still, though, a few hours, apparently, after all of this happened, after he's done killed his wife, his oldest son, and his granddaughter. He still got a few hours. They say he kicked his feet up, cracked open a beer, and watched some TV. And just waited.
Yep, and just waited.
Just waited for the other four kids that I believe lived there.
To get home from school.
That would be, and this is oldest to youngest, that would be Loretta Simmons. All right? Loretta, Eddie Simmons, he was 14. Marianne Simmons, 11. Rebecca or Becky Simmons, 8. Just waiting for them to get off the bus. They get off the fucking bus, okay? He meets him outside. He don't let him inside. He's got this all planned. Dude, this guy was almost like brilliant to a point. In a really fucking deranged, psychotic fucking way. Now, do you want to tell the, you know, how these poor next four get it? Because it was kind of macabre how he did it. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's so sad. Like, he told each one of the kids that he had a Christmas present for them. But he had to give them their Christmas presents. He wanted to give them their Christmas presents, you know, one at a time. So that, you know, the other ones, I guess, so that the other kids wouldn't get jealous or something.
And it was also supposed to be so special, yeah.
Yeah, right. So he took the kids one by one, starting with the oldest first, back behind the house and drowned them in a rain barrel.
Yeah. He would start strangling. It said that he actually grabbed Loretta, like you said, the oldest, 17, grabbed her from, I guess, behind. I don't know if it was with some kind of a belt or whatever that maybe he used on Barbara, his granddaughter, and started strangling her. And then, eventually drowned them in a fucking rain barrel.
And then, threw their bodies in the mass grave. Did this one by one. With each one of the kids, and then threw their bodies in that mass grave pit that they had dug in the backyard.
Ridiculous. I know.
And then...
Go ahead.
And then... It doesn't end there. But wait, there's more.
Here's out of order.
There. Hell yeah. Fucking. He goes back inside, goes drink some more, waits for more family members to show up.
Yeah. I don't think any more showed up that day.
No, it took a few days. He went out and went to the local bar and got some drinks. Yeah. And
he went to Sears, they said, and picked up some gifts that were paid for by mail that were shipped to the store. So he went and picked up some late Christmas gifts that arrived at Sears. Thank you, Merry Christmas. Meanwhile, okay, he only has I think the four kids in the because he only has certain ones in that little cesspool.
Yeah, just the four.
Because the other ones, creepy enough, are just kind of.
He had them laid out. He had them laid out in one part of the two piece. How he had the two mobile homes pushed in and built together. Yeah, he had them in one part of that. Had them laid out.
Creepy.
Yeah, and was just waiting for the other ones. So. Mm-hmm.
And then
a few days later,
the other ones come the 26th on today, when we're recording this, the 26th of December, 1987. More family shows up. And a lot of this family, at least certain parts of this family, at least his daughter, the one that he was, giving it to, like a fucking pedo fuck. All right. Her name would have been Sheila. She has, married and everything, but they, at least them in particular, chose to go the day after Christmas. You know why? Because they didn't want to go. They didn't want to go there and ruin that Christmas day. They wanted Christmas day for themselves without, Sheila's fucked up family, screwing it up. So, yeah. There you go.
And then bam.
Bam.
He ended their lives.
Yeah, we have a William Billy Simmons, the second, 22 years old. His son, gunshot, dead. Renata Simmons, Billy's wife, 21, gunshot, dead. Their son, his grandson, 20 months old, okay? Just under 2 years old, drowning. That was another rainwater fucking barrel.
Yeah. Drowned their 20 month old grandbaby. Like I said, after reading and doing research on this shit, man, like I said, I was like, Jesus Christ, I gotta fucking watch My Little Pony or something.
I mean,
God damn, I've read and seen some fucked up shit before, but good fucking God, like, this dude's one of the ones, like, he takes the cake.
Dude takes
the fucking cake.
Yeah, we had talked before we started recording, and, me and Mrs. Dreds did a podcast on the Sylvia Likens case. I think she did like 40-some days, I believe it was, that she was pretty much held captive, tortured. I mean, it was just horrible. The very first podcast that we ever, said, like, look, listener discretion advised, listen, just be aware. We're talking about some really horrible shit, Don't want any triggers or anything, Yeah. But even then, even after doing a podcast like that and looking into all that shit, next thing you know, I'm looking into this guy and I jump back a little bit, like, huh? It really went there.
That's what got me. Like I was saying, it's like, wait, hold on a second, wait. His granddaughter, who was also his daughter? Rewind.
All right.
Hold on, wait a minute.
We're going to rewind a little bit because Sheila, the one he was fucking, when she was about, I think, I don't know when it started, maybe about 17, I think, possibly.
I think so. I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's his daughter, Sheila. She married a Dennis McNulty. He's 33. Both of them did get gunshots for Christmas. his granddaughter / daughter, Sylvia Gail McNulty, 6 years old, she got strangulation. I think that was the one where she made her turn over and lay on her stomach, and he took a belt and put it around her neck. I believe that was that one. It's pretty brutal, but, you know, to understand how bad this shit stain really was, man, I guess you gotta have to, you know, put it out there. But it does have an happy ending. It does have an happy ending. Michael McNulty, that was a son between Dennis and Sheila. His grandson, 21 fucking months, strangled. All in a day's work. All in a fucking day's work. We have 7 murders. 26th of December, 1987. What did you dreadheads do today? So don't judge. Yeah. Don't judge.
Don't fucking judge me.
Right, I didn't do shit. Well, that motherfucker killed mother 8 people, yeah, 7 people. You know what I mean? This is a shit stain, bro. And what do you want to add to that? His whole
fucking family at that, too. Like, I mean, Jesus Christ. Like you said, it's 7, and not only 7 people, those are 7 family members.
Right.
That's just then. Not including the other 4 children whose lives he'd taken. It was all kids. So that's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, including his wife and son.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, I think when it came to the 28th of December, I think he was up to maybe 14. I don't know, because some sources say that, you know, it's like 15 or 16 kids or 14. You know, 14 were family members out of the 16 that he fucking killed.
His killing spree still wasn't done.
No.
He still wasn't finished.
Nope. He's sitting there for 2 days with all of his family, 14 members of his family sitting in his makeshift fucking condominium. Okay, meaning 2 fucking trailers pushed together, broke down, no plumbing, off the grid, shithole. And sitting around with all of his whole family's fucking corpse.
Decomposing, just
drinking beer. And, yeah.
Oh, God.
And this guy starts... He starts pondering, oh, my God. I hate that motherfucker. That motherfucker, how did all this happen? Oh, it's because that girl didn't, you know, like me.
The woman who... Again, he had been fired from his job for... sexual misconduct, and it was that one lady that he killed. What was her name? Rebecca.
Oh,
I believe
Kathleen Kendrick.
That's it, Kathleen Kendrick.
She denied
all his sexual advances, right. So. He went to her job and decided to, you know, it was all her fault. That, like you said, it's her fault that my life sucks ass. So yep. I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah, she worked at a law office in a place called Russellville. Mm-hmm. She was a receptionist, and he basically, long story short, he basically just walked in, looked at her, she looked at him, bam, shot her straight through the fucking heart, killed her instantly. Turned around, walked out. That quick.
Yep.
That quick. No biggie.
Just like that. And then proceeded to go to, what was it,
He went to an oil company office. That's where he shot J.D. Chaffin, and wounded the owner, Rusty Taylor, who I think that was his intended kill, I believe, because he... Because that he said, I think that was who used to work at a convenience store or was a manager at a convenience store, worked him to death and didn't give, you know, raises or whatnot.
Yeah.
And he got a new job.
Didn't pay him the money.
Exactly. Yeah, he didn't compensate him for all of his hard work, so he went there, shot that motherfucker. Then he drove to the convenience store that Rusty used to work at. This guy has a whole night planned, dude. This was so meticulous.
It's insane.
he drove there. He shoots and wounds two more people. Afterwards, he went to the office. Here we go. I think this is what you were almost going to say. Woodline Motor Freight Company. And that's where he shot and wounded a woman. He shot that like a receptionist or something again.
Yeah. He was just sitting there talking to her and shit, and then just shot her.
Well, no, not that one. Oh, maybe it was that one.
Oh, yeah.
But I know he does walk in and he shoots his fucking receptionist, and then this other woman spots him, and I think he notices her or she recognizes him, and that's the one that he sits and talks to. And that's really how it all came, you know, to, you know, a screeching halt, I guess you could say. You know, he found a woman. He chatted with one of the secretaries that was one of the, I don't know, maybe working that night, one of the last people, and she's looking right at him and he's walking towards her with a fucking gun. Because she hears gunshots and shit going on. So she runs out, you know. What the fuck's on?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Like, and he's coming, you know. And he picks her up and he's like, I'm not going to hurt you. They sit down. He offers her a cigarette. He sets his gun down. Will you take this, please? She is terrified. She takes the cigarette but refuses the gun. He leaves the gun on the table and... He, you know, after sitting there and talking, and just, you know, imagine one of the podcasts that I did listen to, one of, you know, the host was like, you know, just imagine a guy who, you know, was going through all that, that drove himself to, you know, this end, you know what I mean? And how he felt. Now, everything is just bam.
Just stop. Like it just come to a screeching fucking halt. Like, it's like, what the zero, like 100 from the going from 100 to 100 to 100 to zero.
Exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, what the fuck?
They sit there and talk. Yeah, he tells her, you know what? You know, I did everything that I needed to do. I got all the ones that hurt me. Called the cops. And he sat there. And he talked to her. They said within minutes, the whole place was fucking surrounded by cops, of course. And, you know, he just, you know, very non-resistance, you know, type fashion, just stands up, walks over, gives himself up.
Yeah. And yeah, and it's crazy as shit too that he was convicted of course, obviously, but because of the severity and the number of his crimes, you know what I mean, of everything that he'd done,
right?
He received 16 death penalties.
Right. Yep.
He received 16 death penalties.
He's got to be killed like, 16 times. 15 more to go.
After one's kind of redundant, but I mean, 16 death penalties. It's like, what are you gonna do? Kill him and bring him back to life and kill him again?
Reanimator like, type shit.
Yeah, it's like, come on now. But yeah, and then he wanted it too. He fought to get them to speed up the process of him being put to death.
He hustled that shit. And check this out. Yeah. And here, just when you think the story doesn't get any weirder, there were other prisoners on death row that were literally trying to file for an appeal to, you know, take and have his, you know, case looked at again, because they felt that it was damaging those, you know, to try. And this comes from Wikipedia, so I know, take it with a grain of salt. But this is, it says, John Bynum successfully prosecuted the case. Simmons was first tried for the Russellville crimes, and a jury convicted him on a capital murder and sentenced him to death. He made an additional statement under oath supporting his sentence. Listen to this. I, Ronald Gene Simmons Sr., wanted to be known that it is my wish and desire to absolutely no action by anybody be taken to appeal or in any way change this sentence. It is further respectfully requested that this sentence be carried out expeditiously. And some of death row prisoners were like, man, he's kind of fucking it up for us. He's playing the, I did wrong, I'll take my shit. And we're trying to get the fuck off death row. Nobody's going to take us seriously because they look at him as a fucking saint who's coming clean.
That's the mindset of them. But it's like, well, dude, like, stop and look at what the fuck he did. It's like, dude, true. He killed his entire fucking family. Like, hell yeah, he deserves to die.
And he knew it.
In my opinion.
And he knew it. He refused to appeal death sentence, stating, quote, to those who... This is his sentence, or his words. Quote, to those who oppose the death penalty, in my particular case, anything short of death would be cruel and unusual punishment, end quote. And I agree with him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't let him sit and breathe another fucking, you know, drop of fucking air, you know, another molecule of fucking air, drop of air. If it's for human, sure. It's human. Yeah, it could be right. But yeah.
Either way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and we agree with that. And the whole thing is that in United States history at that point, there, I don't know if it's, you know, different now, but from the time that he was sentenced to the time that he was executed was 2 years. That was the quickest from sentence to execution time in U.S. history.
Right. That's crazy.
That is crazy. And he was also the subject of a U.S. Supreme Court case, Whitman versus Arkansas, when another death row inmate, Jonas Whitmore, attempted unsuccessfully to force an appeal of Simmons' case. This guy went to the Supreme Court trying to appeal the Simmons case, and he was another death row inmate or death row prisoner. But he's trying to, you appeal this. I'm appealing it, motherfucker.
Yeah, right. It's like, no, fuck you. Like, he wanted to die.
Yeah.
And he got it, too.
Guess who signed his execution warrant?
You know. Who's that?
Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Bill Clinton was, at the time, the Arkansas governor and signed his execution warrant. And on June 25th, 1990, he died by a method he had chosen. They give you a choice now? Or did they just give this guy a choice? What the fuck?
Actually, I'm pretty sure that they do. If I'm not mistaken, here in Texas, you can still choose firing squad.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken.
I don't know if I'd want that.
I'm gonna look into that. If I were to go, fuck yeah, that's how I want to go. Blow me to fucking shit.
I don't know.
Blow me to fucking shit. If I go out, then I've done something like that, then my brain has broken. You know what I mean? Like, if I do something to where I'm gonna
to stand in front of a firing squad. Right?
To where the death penalty is warranted. Put me down like the fucking rabid dog that I am. That's what I say, man. Like, I don't see anything like that happening to me. But well, you know.
So he chose lethal injection. What about lethal injection? Would you? Is that in your list of choices?
I'd rather have somebody blow the shit out of me than fucking than get lethal injection. Because like you don't know what that feels like. You know what I mean? Like, does it feel like you're fucking? Skin is on fire, like, and you just, like, you're paralyzed and you can't talk, like, you know, like, what the, you know, like, yeah. Just fucking end it. You shoot me in the fucking head.
That does make fucking sense, man. I can't argue much with that.
Really, you shoot me in the fucking socket. Just put me out.
So, yeah, that shit's staying. He is gone. He is gone now, man. Any last words on this fucking guy, dude? I mean,
like I said, like just like the fucking sick, depraved shit that this guy did. Like even before he started killing, he was molesting his fucking daughter, and then had a child with her. Like,
right, and then talked his wife into not divorcing him and telling his wife, admitting to his wife, I did this. I fucked our daughter, and now she's pregnant. Now I have a daughter, granddaughter, and you have, like, I don't know what it is to you, goat girl, I don't know.
And then basically having them live way the fuck out basically like imprisonment.
Yeah.
Out in the middle of fucking nowhere, no TV, no electricity, no fucking running water, like, it's what I think, like, I think all of that, it comes back to that whole fucking control thing.
Sure.
I think it's because he could control them being in that fucking shitty fucking situation. That's what he did.
You know, and there's mental intimidation, I'm sure, going on.
Oh, for sure.
And that makes the control part, you know, a little bit easier. Right. They're going to be a little more submissive to you if they're already just physically, you are physically imposing or just physically scary to
and
them. Intimidating to them. That makes your job so much easier.
Exactly. That's all you got to do. It's like, hell, you can fucking look at them and fucking hell, you don't even got to fucking look at them. They can hear your footsteps and fucking start fucking, you know, start rocking and, you know, getting in the fetal position and shit, you know, like.
They start doing that.
Oh, God. But yeah, man, it was just fucking terrible, man. Like, it's one of those things that's like, shit, man, you don't get much worse than this.
You said shit.
Like, oh God!
It's like code word.
Yeah, it don't get much worse than that, man.
No, I really don't. All right, well, I hear the white coats have signaled.
Oh God! No.
Again, them fucks, man. Always, dude. Everybody learns to hate these bastards. Any hosts that have ever been on there. Every time I say that, they're like, "Oh, these bastards!"
Yeah. Here they come.
Fucking assholes. They do have good medicine. You just have to request some of the better ones sometimes.
Maybe I'll do it next time.
All right. Well, thank you, Jackal Monkey.
Hell yeah.
We had to talk about some, you know, sick bastard, but it's always a good time chatting with a good friend. Some serious
fuck yeah,
shit.
Always.
Talk to you next week, brother.
Can you help me? All I wanted to do was play with you. Please come and play with me. I'm so lonely? Why do you seem so scared? I know things no one knows. We're going to die.